Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte. What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
This is CSN's Redskins Talk, presented by Commuter Connections. Here is your host, JP Finley.
What's up, everybody? Redskins Talk Podcast coming right now. I am JP Finley. I am joined by my friend and a very, very important Washington media personality who I think describes himself as a blogger, columnist person. What is your title, Dan Steinberg?
I think my title is columnist, but I it makes me uncomfortable and I don't think of myself as a columnist. And so,
what do you think of yourself as?
Long pregnant pause.
That's a long pause. I didn't mean to hit you so hard with these questions off the break.
I think nowadays everyone is pretty much just a writer. You know what I mean? Writer, reporter, like columnist, like you have opinions and I have opinions. Barry Sverlugo, who's a columnist for us, has opinions. But Adam Kilgore, who's not technically a columnist, has opinions. Tim Bontemps, who covers the NBA, writes opinions all the time. I think,
right. You
know, Matt Bonesteel and Cindy Boren, who write for our website, have opinions. I think you do legitimate work and you just call yourself a sports writer.
I totally agree. I think kind of the days of reporter versus columnist, that kind of washed away with the rise of Pro Football Talk or any number of sites you want to say where a person is reporting and giving their analysis and their opinion on things. I mean, because even the Skins guy, you know, Mike and Master and Liz will write those perspective things. And
I think Mike Jones, I mean, to me, he's one of the most perceptive observers of the Redskins. He's a reporter, but I care about his opinions on things.
Right. And I don't know. We're starting hot here with a media analysis, but I think less and less do people just need a straight news story on, you know, Rob Kelly is the starting running back. They want more. Here's why. And you know what I mean?
Like, I think that's what they need. And I also think if you try to tell them, hey, I'm just giving you straight news, I don't have opinions, I don't know that that people buy that in the same way anymore. It's hard to think of.
You going
to
click on that from social? Because you already know the news.
It's not clickable. But like I said, I think people don't necessarily trust that reporters can be completely objective anyhow. So I think you might as well
fake
embrace
news,
that.
Fake news.
Yeah. I'll tell you what. I had some good fake news this week.
All right. So literally all I was trying to do was allow you to introduce yourself.
Let's call me a sports writer.
Okay.
Internet-based sports writer Dan Steinberg.
So we're 2 minutes in and literally all I wanted was just, I'm a columnist or whatever you wanted to say. But that was fun. Yeah. Before we get any further, let's thank the good folks at Capital Connections. A couple clicks is all it takes to share a ride to work for free when you want, where you want. Commuterconnections.org. 800-745-RIDE, Carpool Now is their app. All right, so Steins, we've started already. We're off to a good start. I have five topics for us to discuss on this episode of Redskins Talk. The first is Kirk Cousins. Do you think he's going to sign a long-term deal?
I don't get to know what the second topic is before I answer the first question.
That's fine. I tweeted the topics at you.
Oh, you already did. I guess my guess is no, but I think it's close. People throw percentages around. I don't know what a percentage would be, and I don't have any inside information. I think there are logical reasons it would make sense from both sides for it to happen. And so regardless of all the pessimism that's out there, I think it's close in my head about whether it happens, but I guess I would just say no because we haven't seen any evidence of it happening. What about you?
I think no. I didn't expect you to be the optimist of the two of us.
It's not optimistic, really. It's just that there are reasons that would make sense. You know, even for him.
The money's just so great that I'm not sure the Skins will offer it, and I don't know that he should agree to less. Or not even less, but just less opportunity.
Right, but I mean, I imagine that at some point close to the end, the Redskins are going to offer him an awful, awful lot of money. Do you know what I mean? I don't know if it's going to be, I don't know what the average
like
is going to be.
Like July 13th, we're going to hear about a monster deal.
Yeah, and maybe it's not the money he imagines it should be, but it's going to be a lot of money. And he has reasons for waiting, but there is a little bit of risk. I mean, it's not a lot of risk, but there's a little bit of risk for him in not taking a big guaranteed amount this year. You know, there's a risk. I guess at this point, performance is not a risk, but the injury, a little bit. I mean, ask Teddy Bridgewater
right.
if there's a risk.
That's the example, right, is Bridgewater. Or locally, and I know he's not a quarterback, but you look at Kyshawn Jarrett, who looks like he's probably never going to play football again.
It's a different circumstance in a lot of ways, but Robert Griffin III. Robert Griffin, you never, ever would have thought midway through that 2012 season, you know, if you put $50 million ahead of him, you should grab it at that. I mean, I know it's an unrealistic scenario, but you would have thought it's impossible for even a bad injury to ruin what this guy has going.
I would think. I mean, you want a QB injury locally, Theismann.
Yeah, there you go.
I think that is more apt than RG3 just because certainly injuries were a huge part of that, but there was other stuff with the RG3.
Okay.
Is he on a roster yet, by the way?
No, and that'd be a great...
You think he gets a deal? You think somebody brings him into camp? Will he go somewhere to be a backup?
Here's my out-of-left-field guess. Wow, we're all over the place so far. Out-of-left-field guess, at some point in the next 2 years, we hear about him attempting to make a track comeback.
Ooh, track, huh?
What do you think?
Was he that good? I know he was like really good, but I mean,
doesn't matter if he was or not. If he's not playing football, what else is he going to do? Anyhow, point being, on Kirk, there is a little bit of risk, okay? And maybe it's 1% or maybe it's 2%, but when you're talking about,
sure,
you know, $70 million or, you know, whatever crazy amount of money that is going to be on the table for him, there's a little bit of risk to say no. And there's also, he's starting a family and he's got some level of comfort here. He's got some level of comfort with his coaches and with his teammates. There are reasons that you can imagine a guy would want to say, let's get this over with.
You and I have young families. I would take the financial security of $50 million. I don't know about you.
Well, I mean, yeah. Yeah,
I'm not comparing the situation.
He's going to have tens of millions in the bank regardless of what he does.
Right.
You know what I mean? I guess that's the...
Well,
that's...
and Andrew Brandt, I don't know if you heard him. He did an interview with Sheehan on 980 that I thought was really good. And he said, he's like, everybody, it's easy to have these kind of abstract conversations around Cousins. Like, oh, but if he waits, he could hit free agency at 30. That's never happened. The money could be astronomical. But when you're faced with that decision, there's an actual piece of paper that will guarantee you $50, $60, $70 million, that's hard to say no to.
And faced with the reality of another year of nonstop questions about
right.
his contract and his future, and then we're going to do the same dance again next year. Maybe he is, as he always says, maybe he is convinced himself that the NFL is year to year, no matter what you do. And
week to week.
Yeah. Maybe he really, really believes that, but you know, like I lived on like month-to-month leases for a while, and I popped around apartments for a while when I was younger. And at some point, I wanted to settle down. Yeah. I wanted to like know where I was going to be living next year, know what my job was going to be. Maybe he doesn't feel the same way. But
And you know what? In the pressers, now granted, it was just OTAs and then minicamp, but even at those pressers, and it was kind of a gag, but it was definitely a thing. You know, so Kirk gets up there, and we ask a bunch of questions, and whenever it's funny, whenever there's a situation where everybody knows there's one topic we have to talk about, nobody ever asks that first, right? Mm-hmm. Like when Trent Murphy talked after the suspension, we talked to him about like, how's the foot? You know, what do you think of Ryan Anderson? And then finally it's like, so about that suspension. So with Kirk, when he talked, it was Terrell Pryor, Josh Doctson, all these questions. And then finally Rich Tandler was like, hey, let's talk about the contract. And if you remember, Kirk was like, you're the guy. You're the guy that's asking about it. And so then when he talked again, it was Michael Phillips out of Richmond. And he's like, well, I'm going to be the guy today, Kirk. And Kirk kind of laughed about it. So to me, there is some contract fatigue setting in.
Yeah, I mean, how could there not be? This has been 2 years in a row of, I mean, totally. Of almost obsession. And I don't think it's misplaced obsession because it's the most important position on the most important team in town. But it's a lot. I mean, we I think the last time I was on this podcast, the first time this podcast ever existed.
I know, dude. I think that was the first ever guest.
I don't remember when that was, but I think that this was one of the topics.
It was before week one last year. So I bet we talked about this.
Yeah. So I don't know. And you know, there's the comfort level. There's the fan base. Like I think that he's got to know that the fan base is kind of waiting for a long-term deal before it fully embraces him, I think. And I think that there would be, whether it's fair or not, there would be a little bit of a backlash against him if he continues to play on these one-year deals. So I don't know. I mean, people like to be loved.
I think that possibility is growing.
Yeah.
I certainly, especially if a report comes out, hey, there was an offer of 120 with 75 guaranteed and it didn't happen.
Yeah.
I think that's when...
I'm convincing myself maybe it is 50-50. There's a lot of... See, I think there are like legitimate reasons that he would say, let's do it.
I still don't think it gets done. I don't know.
Wait, can I go back to the Trent Murphy thing for one thing?
Sure.
Because this was... I don't know if you remember last year, starting in OTAs or starting in minicamp or something, and then continuing into training camp. It was a story about...
The weight loss?
The weight gain, I think.
Well, it was weight loss. Yeah, you're right. I'm sorry. It was weight gain, and then he had to shed it,
but right. He thought he was going to be playing a different position or whatever. Right. And I remember having great fun, you know, talking about all the exotic meats that he was eating and all the calories he was consuming and all that. And I feel like it was another... I'm too old to be learning lessons like this, but it was like another lesson. Man, don't go for the feel-good stories because you don't want to know what's underneath the good feelings.
So I think... Maybe on that, but since we're going down the Trent Murphy road, I think it's a little different, man, because think about when that suspension came out. If there was a positive test that early in the season, I don't think he finishes the season. I don't know the appeal process because all that stuff is kept behind closed doors and who knows the timeline. Like, you know, I believe that's actual like federal law that you can't disclose that kind of stuff. But what I do know is that he was hurt late in the year and kept playing. And I wonder if he was trying to push through an injury or overcompensate in some other way.
Well, yeah, I have no idea, and I guess I shouldn't speculate.
I have no idea.
All I'm going to say is next time that I'm getting ready to write a story about a guy adding pounds by eating kangaroo meat, there's probably going to be a second thought in my head. Maybe I shouldn't write about the kangaroos.
Right. Well, dude, I mean, if we're talking about feel-good stories going awry, how about the Portis story in Sports Illustrated? That just made me sad. And I know Clinton, and I'm sure you know Clinton, and he's a good dude. And it's just like, to lose that much cash and be swindled out of it, obviously where his actions almost went to is way too far, but that's got to be just totally emotionally destructive.
Yes, and I think that he said in there, a lot of people who have gone through what I went through would have offed themselves. And I don't know how serious
and I don't think
he
it's
was.
Hyperbole.
Well, yeah, I guess I'd be curious. And it was interesting that he said, and the author said that at some point, Portis stopped participating in the story and stopped talking to him. And so I don't know, like, I'm curious why he did and what he feels about the story. I would love to talk to him about it sometime. But that's not even the only sad part about the story, I don't think. I thought it was sad, the memory loss and the fear of getting tested. And
I thought his reaction to the concussion stuff was really interesting.
Yeah, interesting.
He doesn't want to know.
And honestly, I thought his attempts to get into broadcasting, he's had some opportunities around here, but that he was kind of bitter or disappointed when the NFL Network was taking younger players who came after him, and he worried that it was his accent or his way of talking or whatever.
I think some of that was the most endearing stuff about him was kind of the accent and the way he spoke, you know. It's
absolutely
genuine,
absolutely right. But here he is and he's 35, and it just feels like there's like a level of sadness to that story that I just wouldn't have expected.
Well, and then you wrote he and Gil, right? I mean, just that like era of DC sports, late 2000s, I'm guessing, like 05 to 10, somewhere in there. I mean, gosh,
it wasn't even that long. Didn't last that long.
Right.
05 was probably the peak, really. I mean, they were still popular and they were still successful after that, but it was 05 when Portis and the Skins went to the second round with that with that late season run. And when Gilbert
at Seattle,
they lost in Seattle. That was the, that was when they won in Tampa.
You and I were both there, I think. Were you at that Seahawks game?
I was at the 2007 Seahawks game. I wasn't at the 2005 one.
Maybe I was at the 2007 game.
But yeah, I mean, that was Portis was part of that team too. But by then, Gilbert was already kind of careening into the injury land. But I mean, the part that was striking to me, the reason I compared them is because I think they were held up, not just in Washington, but around the country, as kind of the example of modern, like fun-loving, playful, absurd athletes.
Abachi.
Yeah, it was right at the start of the blogging era.
Right.
And bloggers loved them.
And there were so many bloggers here in D.C. that it was like the perfect kind of...
Right.
I don't
know. It was like Gilbert's alter ego and Portis with the costumes and Gilbert's blog and, you know, Portis with the press conferences and his weekly appearances on 980 then were must listen. And they were just...
Is that
so,
when he was arguing with B-Mitch too?
That Portis pocket straight. There was so much fun. And
God, the Portis pocket straight seems so much sadder now. I hadn't thought about that specifically.
Oh, yeah. He talked at length in an Esquire story about how he was set for financially. He had no financial worries. And this was in 2006, I think. And just for both of those guys who were kind of symbols of fun to have careened into these sadder dimensions is... Definitely bums me out.
All right. So moving on.
You brought it up.
I did. And I think it needed to be touched on, certainly, but it's sad. All right. So next on my list. So we talked about Kirk Cousins. And then you used a phrase that I liked, a misplaced obsession. Now, like anything on the internet, whenever something gets talked about a lot, there comes this like contrarian backlash, like, oh, get out of here with that. So now people more and more are... At least on my social media, I'm guessing on your social media, when I have a new story about Kirk, when I have a new opinion piece, whatever the hell it is I'm putting out there, as it relates to Cousins, they're like, oh, keep this away. This is fake news. And I'm just so tired of it, dude. And I'm curious your thought, because you said it. It's the most important position on the most important team in town. It's the team I cover. I know you cover all the teams. I follow all the teams. But... The quarterback of this team, the guy that's really gotten them back into a position of at least mediocrity and perhaps the precipice of something more, isn't under contract. It's a big deal. We're not wrong to be covering it. That's our job.
Yeah, I said it was not a misplaced obsession. I think it's an apt obsession. I think maybe some of the frustration comes from the fact that nothing tangible is happening, and it's months and months of nothing tangible happening. Do you know what I mean? Like,
right. And it's we're not kind even of talking a year about, of nothing.
Yeah. Happening. Yeah. We're not even talking about like matching offer, you know, offers going back and forth, one side offering this, one side, because it just doesn't seem like we're at that stage. Nothing seems to be happening, you know? And so we're over the past few months. And I think this is appropriate, but every time anyone says something publicly, we kind of dive into those words and dissect them, and you know, it's posturing, and it's not even very interesting posturing, really, from either side. So I think
because
that might
be... Because it's just positive platitudes that are hollow.
Right. And so I think that's where maybe some of the frustration would come from fans. But I think that your outlet and my outlet have both done fine jobs of covering all the other stories that are out there, and it's not like there's a lot happening elsewhere either.
Right.
You know, I think that... Maybe you saw me and Chris Russell had a little back and forth about how...
I missed it. Those are usually good.
How he was yelling at fans who were yelling at him for talking too much about Cousins. And he was saying, you know, what do you want me to talk about? Spencer Long's technique. And then a lot of people were like, yeah, actually, we do want you to talk about...
So I'll address that specifically. Rich Tandler... Nobody writes more about interior offensive line play than Rich Tandler. I mean, you go through our website, man, and we've got like breakdowns on guards, breakdown on center... You know, D-line, if you want that hardcore football death chart reviews, it's there, man. I mean...
Right. But anyhow, the point was a lot of people said they did want Spencer Long technique breakdown, so me and Chris Russell grabbed Spencer Long after a practice and started asking about him some technique issues. I never did anything with it, but it was kind of interesting. I think maybe I'll revisit in training camp.
Well, especially a dude that converted from guard to center.
And he's like a pretty thoughtful guy.
Yeah, he's a good talker.
Yeah,
we've had him on post game a couple times, and he's really good.
Notice how I tried to change the subject to interior line play, so we can see how the ratings spike at this part of
the. Well, that's the thing is we have analytics on all this. We know what people are reading and what they're not, and they're reading Kirk Cousins stuff. So if you don't like it, don't read it, I guess. But everybody is.
I would like to get my head straight with Cousins on if it doesn't happen, how we should apportion blame. And my head is not straight on that question. I've gone back and forth myself. And so I need to figure that out before July 17th. So I'm ready to write.
I don't know. Well, what I know is the bulk of Redskins fans are going to blame their team. I think
that's right. Unless
the bulk of Redskins fans,
the team leaks a massive offer that he declined, then I think it might get interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, it will. I mean, it will get interesting. All right, let's talk about something more fun. Richmond training camp. Are you going to Richmond?
I haven't actually decided.
Because last year you came and you didn't hang out with me. It was kind of messed up.
Do you know what's interesting, though? And I think it kind of relates a little bit to what you were just talking about. Is it's sometimes it's tempting to think, and maybe not inaccurately, that you can write opinions with the same effectiveness from Washington, D.C. as you could from Richmond on some of these issues. Do you know what I mean?
Certainly.
I don't know. I don't always know, especially for what I do. I'm not sure how valuable it is for me to be there, but I would like to go. I would like to go. I think it is valuable to be there. And do you know one story that I want to write before training camp? I don't want to give it away. Forget it.
Oh, look at that tease.
It's not right that interesting, there. But there's someone else who might do it, so I just don't feel like giving it away.
Is it about kangaroo meat? Because you said you shouldn't write any more about kangaroo meat.
No, but I've always been disappointed.
There's no chance you've eaten kangaroo meat.
Of course not. If they made a veggie version, tofu kangaroo meat, I would. I was going to say that would work. I think I've written a couple of kind of interesting things about Trent over the years, and they don't.
Murphy?
Yeah, they don't bounce. People.
You know what's fun? He's cool and has a really interesting backstory. He's like a rodeo dude and like power lifter and all this stuff.
And does crazy workouts with his family.
But I think his family's all athletes. I think his sister played hoops I can't remember all the different sports.
His dad is jacked. Right. Sure, yeah.
But I think because he's relatively soft spoken, he's just not that like person, that flamboyant personality, that it doesn't sell the hardcore workout stuff. You know what I mean?
Maybe, but I don't think he's any more soft spoken than Kerrigan. And there's a lot more interest in Kerrigan, I think. I mean, I guess Kerrigan's a better player.
Yeah. But I think he's a little quieter than Ryan.
Maybe.
I don't know.
Maybe. He's kind of one of those guys that is, the fan base has been slow to warm to him, I think.
Right.
I mean, maybe it's because of a little bit of disappointing first season.
Well, and even when he was drafted, a lot, you know, the draft Knicks were like, this is too high. He's a third or fourth round grade. Yeah. And I think people take that kind of instant analysis to, like, I think everybody loves Jonathan Allen because the overwhelming word is the Redskins got a steal at 17, you know?
Yeah.
And he's a local kid connection. From Bama. Right.
He's known Trent Williams for years. He used to, I think he played with Trent's nephew.
He like helped Chris Cooley move. Right.
You know, I'm thinking about this as we're talking. I got to go to Richmond. I have to go. How can I not go to Richmond? I don't know what I would want to write. I need to think of that.
See, I think you get the prime gig for Richmond because you can just go for three nights or something.
Yeah, something
like
that. Yeah.
And that is the camp gets monotonous, yeah. You know?
So what are we interested in?
For the players, for the coaches.
Is it too early to say what we're interested in? Like, if I was there for the first 2 days, what we'd be writing about the first 2 days?
I think if
you take Cousins off the table.
Okay, because Cousins is going to be the story.
Sure.
Because he either doesn't have a deal or will have a deal.
Absolutely.
And then you got to get Gruden's reaction to that and players' reaction to that.
Absolutely.
I am very interested to see Pryor and Doctson on the field in pads.
Yeah.
I'm really interested about the Redskins rebuild secondary. I want to see Sua out there. I am quite bullish on Swearinger. I think that'll prove to be a really good signing. I said it at the time. I still think the defensive line has a bunch of holes. I'm interested in seeing that D line with pads on.
Yeah.
I don't know that they've solved a lot.
Yeah. I
think Allen helps, but
yeah, I gotta say, this reflects poorly on me, not on anyone else, but I just have memories of sitting on the sideline, sweating, trying to find an appropriate position where I'm not blocking people's view behind me.
It's so hot, and there's so many people behind you, like, get down.
Yeah, I'm looking at my phone, trying to stay up on Twitter, and man, like, the number of salient, valuable observations that I make in late July that prove to be useful in October is minimal.
True. I think more valuable is talking to guys, kind of building that relationship more.
And assistant coaches.
Right, that stuff. But And I also think one thing, people dismiss it as like fantasy football culture or whatever, but everybody watches The QBs throwing a receiver, the one-on-ones, the receiver corner battles, they're fun to watch. I don't think it's a fantasy football thing. I think it's just way more fun to watch than linemen doing one-on-ones. But I do think there's great value in watching. I mean, can Ari Quanjo push Sean Laval for a job is more important than Josh Doctson against Bashaud Breeland, you know? But nobody's going to watch that.
Maybe equally important. More important.
I mean, I would... I don't know.
Reader poll, listener poll, right in. What would you rather watch?
Everybody's turning their phones off right now.
We should definitely have talked about Richmond breweries. There'd be more.
That's what I'm trying. That's where I'm headed.
Oh,
so
let's head there.
The Vale is my number one seed. Have you been there?
Is that the one where you got the tour last year?
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I haven't. I remember being jealous.
Did I text you from there, or how'd you know about the tour?
I think I saw you the next day, and like the brewer from the place out of
dude Isaac.
Yeah, I was like, wait, what? Huh? Why didn't I get invited?
He'll hook it up if we go. So
Richmond has like, good beer, man. Richmond has good beer.
I want to do like a brewery tour one night.
Yes.
If that happens, are you interested?
Yes, you, me, and Jim Tomsula. That dude can drink some beer, right?
I hope we get more Tomsula access. I'm not sure we will. I think the Skins know they have a gym there. Scott Jackson is very plugged into the Richmond beer scene.
Is that right?
That's right.
Okay.
So this brings us very neatly to our next topic. I have beer is our next topic.
Oh, good.
What are you, so it's hot. What are you drinking these days?
I don't even want to tell you what there's a case of in my car right now.
Heineken? You just permanently have cases of Heineken in your car. Are you buying it now or is it your mother-in-law?
When she's at Costco, it's just like a reflex. Gotta get Heineken for Dan. And so it's literally been in the car for... When, you know, it's hot out.
Yeah.
But I
better get it out of the car, dude.
I mean, can you taste the difference between Skunk Heineken and not Skunk Heineken?
That might be like the flavor they go for.
Yeah. No, I've been drinking like Pilsners, man. I've been drinking some like summer Pilsners, some summer beers. You know what I like is the, I can't remember if I've talked to you about this one. Obviously, I'm into the sours, as is everyone nowadays. You're not into it. But I like the Dogfish Head summer one that they're making. I think it's got some lime in it and there's something else wacky.
Maybe I'll try it. The sours I've had, I have not enjoyed. It's not for me, but...
Okay, old man.
get off my lawn. No, but the beer I've been drinking, and it all depends on what is kind of cheap at Wegmans when I go, but Founders All Day Session IPA.
Oh, yeah, that's good.
I like that one a lot.
It's definitely solid. This is actually considered... I got to put my birthday...
So for folks that aren't seeing what Dan is doing, he's pulling his phone out and he's on the Dogfish Head website.
Sea Quench Ale, it is called. Our Session Sour Quencher, brewed with lime peel, black limes, and sea salt.
Black limes? I never even heard of that.
4.9 ABV.
See, that's
very
me,
drinkable.
Right.
Very drinkable. A lot of the sours are
maybe
are
this
drinkable.
Is me getting old, but I can't sit down with a bunch of 8-9% anymore.
No.
Like,
but a lot of the sours are on the low side.
Right.
I think you should try this one. It's a really good summer beer.
You know what's a really good summer beer? Natty Light.
I also have some PBR in my fridge.
Especially like if I'm mowing the lawn or something that I'm just super hot. I mean,
You know Dan Wetzel from Yahoo Sports, one of the
I know the name, sure.
Do you know what his go to summer beer is?
I don't.
Is Busch.
Ah.
Which I
under the mountains.
I can say I've never bought Busch from a grocery store. I don't think I ever have.
What did you didn't drink Busch in college? Busch 30 packs were like a
No, I didn't.
I this kid I knew in college, I don't know why he did this, but when we lived in the dorms, he cut out the top of every Busch 30 pack and saved them in his dorm room, Jay Heckman, and had like I mean, by the end of the semester, I had 100 of them, or like a stack up to the ceiling.
I don't know. There's other cheap beers. I just don't remember ever buying Busch. And I certainly, as an adult, as a grown man, I've never have.
The Busch can is pretty sweet now. It has like a fish on the back. Like it has some sort of like outdoorsy, like a rainbow trout or something. Like there's probably 5 different looks on those cans.
I would definitely buy like MGD though, or something like that.
MGD is pretty gross.
I would buy it over Busch, though. That's just my habit.
I would not.
You're ringing your phone. It's ringing.
My alarm is going off because I have to go move my car before I get a parking ticket. So we're going to wrap this up.
Wait, I thought there was 5 topics.
There is. We're going to hit the last one now.
Okay, cool.
Okay. Last topic. I don't know that I've ever known you to go on vacation.
On vacation.
Where do you go? So the topic is, are you beach guy or mountains?
Oh, not mountains. I don't do mountains. I'm going to, that's why I don't drink Busch.
Yeah, probably it's a mountain man's beer.
I'm going to Lewis, Delaware this weekend.
All right, so you're a beach guy.
I like the beach.
Will you stay up there for the 4th?
Don't think so. I think I'll be back here probably at the Palisades Parade. My favorite July 4th parade. Have you been to that one?
I have not. There's a little 4th of July parade right in my neighborhood, so yeah. I only have to like walk 3 houses up to see it, which is perfect.
Well, maybe we should meet halfway between.
The Wood
between.
Acres Parade. You're welcome to it.
After, maybe we can meet halfway between with a case of Bush.
You bring the Heineken, I'll bring the Bush, and we'll trade.
Let's do this with some cheap beer next time. We can taste test the... Are we allowed to do that?
I don't know, but... I'm in. Yeah. Like, I tell you what, if we don't, so
we're taste Bush now.
We're currently in the CSN podcast studio. If we were recording this like we've recorded other of these, just at various locations, we could definitely have some beer.
JP, you know what I'm thinking?
Let's record one in Richmond at a brewery.
Okay, well, that's a good idea. Isaac will hook us up. I think we should ask some players on the Redskins what their favorite beer is.
Summertime beer or just beer in general.
Do those guys drink beer? Do they like nice beers? Do you think they drink Sea Quench ale?
I don't know about the Sea Quench, but I know I've hung out with some players that will do Corona.
Not nice.
Blue Moon.
Not nice.
Probably a lot of Bud Lights in there. Well,
I want to ask. I'm going to do...
I think you need the younger players.
I'm too old to be doing stupid stuff like this, right? Because I would like to...
Dude, you're a columnist now, man.
I know, but no, like a columnist aren't supposed to ask. Because I've always wanted to do like a comprehensive survey of local athletes on their favorite cereals. Because it's a really hot button issue.
You know, if I ever have a radio show, first day, what one segment will be?
Favorite cereal?
Well, comparing players to cereal. And I have two things that are a lock. Uh-huh. Honey Nut Cheerios is Michael Jordan. It's just the best of all time. It's parents like it, kids like it, everybody likes it. And then Cookie Crisp is Gilbert Arenas because it tastes good, but it's quite bad for you.
I've never gotten my daughter always wants Cookie Crisp, and I've never bought it for her.
Right.
I wouldn't let her hang out with Gilbert Arenas either.
Exactly.
It works.
Cookie Crisp is great, though. But it's literally little cookies.
It is cookies. It's cookies in a bowl. But you know, like muffins are considered a proper breakfast food, and they're basically
donuts.
Just, yeah,
donuts. Yeah.
Has anyone made a donut cereal?
Probably exists, man.
I would eat it.
I'd try to go healthier cereals these days.
Honey Bunches of Oats. Honey Bunches of Oats might be one of my favorite. It's definitely one of my favorites. Might be my favorite.
Frosted Flakes. I don't know if that's healthy.
I like it. Okay. None of them.
Cinnamon Toast Crunch is.
Yeah.
Great.
No, I don't. Yeah. I think I've had this conversation with you. I don't. Recently, a lot of people of our generation have decided that is the gold standard. It's not that interesting to me. I don't like cinnamon that much. It's like, it's not that great. And it's all one texture, one note.
I put this on Twitter, and it elicited like a huge argument. The milk left over in the bowl from Cinnamon Toast Crunch is the best cereal milk there is.
I mean, you got to really love cinnamon, I guess. I just don't like cinnamon as much as you do.
Maybe. All right. This has been a lot of fun. Let's hope I didn't get a ticket on my car.
I think I put cinnamon in my coffee today because I thought it was vanilla.
Ah, well, how is it?
It's okay.
You coming around?
Yeah.
No. You know, do you like French toast? Because they make French toast crunch.
I know they do. But again, it's like it's not.
So what's your favorite, like, bad, not healthy cereal?
You don't think Honey Bunches of Oats counts as not healthy?
That's healthier than like Golden Grahams. I'm talking like a cereal that's sold with a cartoon character included.
As a kid, it was Lucky Charms for sure.
See, I only like the marshmallows.
No, I think the whole thing is good. Lucky Charms is good. Lucky Charms milk is good too, man.
All right.
Yeah.
Maybe I should get back on the Lucky Charms stream.
Yeah.
Dan, thank you very much, dude. How do people find you? What's your Twitter and your Facebook and all that stuff?
Well, usually I'm wandering around Tenley Town.
So that's the best way?
Yes.
What is it, that giant you're always at?
The giant Cathedral Commons giant, but a lot of times during the day I work at the Panera or the Starbucks.
People are just going to come hound you.
So come find me there.
Can you? I don't know if there's downtown Tenley Town.
Did I say downtown Tenley Town?
I think so.
The middle of Tenley Town. I don't know.
Yeah.
The center of Tenley Town. Or DC Sports Blog on Twitter, but everyone knows that, and right. Anyone who cares about me would know how to.
My wife used to live right across from Cactus.
Yeah, I live three blocks from Cactus.
That's a fun little neighborhood.
You know, there's a Wegmans coming in that neighborhood.
Where?
Supposedly, the old Fannie Mae. Yeah, supposedly.
That's a big deal.
Game changer.
That's a big deal. Well, that makes sense because their whole thing is they need like massive parking. And that will have enough space.
Yes, but it would be walking distance for me and I would walk there frequently.
I bet. Yeah, that's a quick drive.
We got to go. Come on. You got a parking ticket.
All right. Thank you guys for listening. Stay with us. Everybody have a happy, safe 4th of July. We will have another podcast. Rich Chandler will be back with me next week. One thing real quick. Let's again thank the good folks at Commuter Connections. A couple clicks is all it takes to share a ride to work when you want, where you want for free. CommuterConnections.org, 800-745-RIDE, or Carpool Now is their app. Thank you, guys. If you made it this far, I owe you a beer.